Personally, Rabbi Levin was my night seder Rebbe in PRS night seder. And
yeah, that was big.
And we were very, very fortunate to be able to hear some Torah on Elul and the in Yonah Dioma from Rabbi Levin today. So without
thank you so much, Rabbi Fagan. I call you Rabbi Fagan? Okay, excellent. Firstly, big hashuach to each one of you, firstly for spending the summer learning and playing sports, which is great, I love that combination, but dedicating much of your summer to learning, which is fantastic, and even after your summer's over, to continue to learn when you're back here is perhaps even greater, so you guys should continue to grow in your learning, in Yiddishkeit, and Midos, and Derech Eretz. So Rabbi Greitzer asked me to give a shiur related to Elul and Tshuva, hopefully had a chance to see some of the Marmakomos. It's also nice to see some familiar faces from different places. And let's begin talking about this concept, which I'm sure you all have heard of. If not, you've seen today in the Gemara, of b'makom shebal tshuva omdim ein tzadikim gemurim omdim. That where bal tshuva stands, you cannot compare that level that a bal tshuva gets to that of a great tzadik gemur. And the truth is, it's a machlokus in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos Daf Lamed Dalamim Beis that Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion that kol ha-neviim kulan lo nisnabu ela lebal tshuva. All the prophecies, all the nevuahs that the various nevi'im had, they were only able to view the schar, the great reward of the Baal Teshuva, because that was something that was within reach. It wasn't that great of a schar. But the tzadikim gemur, says the Gemara, ayin lo ra'os elokim zulascha. No one could see, no one could imagine how great that schar is. Only Kadosh Baruch Hu understand that schar. But for you and me, for a navi, you cannot touch the schar of a great tzaddik, a tzaddik gomer. Yochanan says that tzaddik gomer is greater than that of a baal tshuva. Comes along, the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yabo. Rabbi Yabo says, no, makom shebaal tshuva omdim. This is the famous statement. The place in Olam Haba where the baal tshuva stands, where he gets that schar, tzaddikim gemurim einam omdim. That is not the same level that a tzaddik gomer could reach. The tzaddik gomer cannot touch the schar, cannot touch the chelik of Olam Haba to that of Baal Tshuva. Baal Tshuva is greater, according to Rabbi Yabo. How do they know? So they have a pasuk that says, Shalom, Shalom, Rachok, Lekarov. Peace, peace, Lerachok, and Lekarov. The fact that Rachok gets placed before Karov tells us that a Rachok is greater than a Karov. What's a Rachok? And what's a Karov? So Gemara explains that a Rachok is a person who was initially, he was Rachok. He was doing things he shouldn't be doing. He was very far from the Derech Hashem. And afterwards, a Karov, he came back. So Rachok is greater than one who is always Karov. A Baal Tshuva is called a Rachok, and now he's Karov. And a Karov is a Tzadik Gomer who is always Karov. So the fact that Pasuk places Rachok first tells us that a Baal Tshuva is greater. Rabbi Yochanan says it's the complete opposite. A Rachok is a person who is Rachok from a Dvar Avera. He's so far from doing an Avera, that's a person who is Rachok. A Karov is a person who is close to an Avera. That's a Baal Tshuva. So Rachok is placed first in the Pasuk. He's a tzaddik gomer who is so far from Averis his whole life. The second group is a karov, he who is close to an Avera. Rabbi Yochanan understands that a tzaddik gomer is greater than a baal tshuva. So this is a fascinating machlokas. Who's better? A tzaddik gomer or a baal tshuva? How do we paskin? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva. He says, Va'al yidma baal tshuva shumeruchak mimalas ha-tzaddikim. A Baal Tshuva shouldn't tell himself that, you know, I can't touch a Tzadik Gomer. I wasn't raised like Rav Moshe Feinstein or Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. I wasn't raised like such great Tzadikim. I'm so far. A person should not view this way because he shouldn't say I'm merachok mimalas ha-tzadikim. Mipnei avonos v'chatos she'asa. I've done so many bad things in life. I've got so many shortcomings. I did this, I did that. It's not even worth trying. A Kadosh Baruch Hu thinks I'm a nothing. Ella? Ein adavar kein. It's not true. The Rambam tells us a person should think, Ahov v'nechmad hu lefnei habore. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds you to be precious and special, ki'ilu lo chata me'olam. As if you never sinned in your entire life. V'lo old, not only that, says the Rambam, elashis scharo harbe. Your schar is even greater for being a Baal Tshuva. I'm assuming everyone here has done something wrong in their life. So everyone in this room is now a Baal Tshuva. And says the Rambam that the schar for each one of us is harbe, is greater. Sheharei tam tamchet. You tasted sin. You tasted what it's like to speak Lashon Hara. You taste what it's like to be mean to your friend, to say something not nice. You've tasted something that tasted bad. And yet still, upirish menu, you separated. V'kavash yitzor, you're able to overcome your yetzahara, says the Rambam. Say chachamim, makom shabai tshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gumurim yichol na'amud bo. The place where Baal Tshuva stands, the Tzad HaGomer cannot touch your place in Shemaim, your place in Om Haba. So very interesting. The Rambam paskens like Rabbi Yochanan against Rabbi Bohu, against Rabbi Yochanan. He says Rabbi Bohu's right that Makom Shabbat Shuvim Omdim Ein Tadikim Gumim Omdim. But there is a cloud. Perhaps you saw this in the Mar Makomos. There's a cloud. We have many klali apsak. When there's a machlokis in the Gemara, Gemara tells us often we paskin this way versus that way. There's a psak that halacha kibasra, for example, we always paskin like the later opinion. There are many klali apsak, many rules of how to paskin in the Gemara. One of the rules in the Gemara is that we always pass like Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that Tzad HaGomer is greater. So how could the Rambam paskin against Rabbi Yochanan this very halacha? He clearly states, we hold like Rabbi Abohu, against Rabbi Yochanan, that Baal Tshuva are greater. So it answers the Maaser Rokeach. Maaser Rokeach had an interesting name. His name was Masad Chai Rokach. That was his name. He was Svardi. He was a great rabbi in Libya. We don't have that many rabbis from Libya. He lived in the 18th century, and he said the following. He has a number of chidushim on the Rambam. Very simple. All the klali apsak that we have in the Gemara, all the rules how to paskin, only relate to how to paskin, if there's a nafkamina. There's no nafkamina here. Who cares who's greater? So, do I have to know whether Tzad HaGomer gets greater schar in Olam Haba, or Baal Tshuva gets greater schar? What's a nafkamina? It doesn't make a difference to me and you. There's no psak here. And since there's no psak, the Rambam was not compelled to pask like Rabbi Yochanan. He felt whatever he felt, and he was able to paskin against Rabbi Yochanan because this was not a psak halach. Now, what's the problem with this, guys? What's the difficulty with this? Yes.
Why would they even have machlokas?
Well, they could still have a machlokas. We have many machlokas in Mesil, Bashamah, for example. What was created first, Shemayim v'Arts? Makes no difference to us. So we do have debates, even that which does not relate to halach l'maisa. Anyone see?
There are practical applications when it comes to who to respect more or who to give certain positions to.
Excellent. There is a nafkamina. Who should be the chazan in general? Who should be the chazan Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Is a Baal Tshuva greater? Should we give it to him? Let's say they're equally good in terms of their ability to daven for the Amun. So they're both chazan. One's a Baal Tshuva. He came from whatever he came from. He's a great tzaddik now. And another one came from a family that was always a tzaddik from the moment he came into this world. Who should we choose? Should it be the Tzad HaGomer or should it be the Baal Tshuva? Who's greater? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yevamos, based on a pasuk that when Yitzchak and Rivka were davening for a child, they were both barren, they were unable to have children, so they davened for each other. The pasuk says, Vayeser Yitzchak la'ashem lenochach ishto. Yitzchak davened across from Rivka. Now, I'll tell you a fascinating shaila came up. Reb Zilberstein asked the following shaila. Someone asked him this shaila. In Eretz Yisrael, there was a family, not religious, they had twins. The husband and wife, their names were Yitzchak and Rivka. And they had twins, and they were not religious, but they knew Tanakh, certainly knew this story. They thought it'd be amusing if they named their children Yaakov and Esav. Right? Parents were Yitzchak and Rivka. They had twins like the stories in Tanakh and Chumash. So let's have a child named Yaakov and Esav. Very funny. It wasn't so funny when Esav got very sick at a young age, a newborn. Yaakov went home. He was fine. But Esav was stuck in the hospital, had to be taken care of. Now, the frum nurse, she always had this practice of davening for her patients. Now, she felt very uncomfortable davening for Esav ben Rivka. It was a little bit strange to call such a child. And so she asked Rav Zilberstein, what should she do? What should you do? So he writes two suggestions. He says, one answer is that maybe what you could say is as follows. Daven for the mother who just had given birth. You daven for a woman who's a yoledes, and so she becomes fully healed. And you should say, Rivka bas plonis ubana hanolala. Avoid saying Esav, and just say, the mother should be well along with her son. Don't mention that name. Another suggestion, he said, maybe the name Esav doesn't really work. That wasn't chal on the child. And he said you should ask the local rabbi and let the rabbi give a new name to this child. Without the parent's authority, give it a new name, call him, I don't know, whatever you want to call him, Avram, and then daven for Avram Bas Rivka. That was the other suggestion. But the truth is, there's really a third suggestion which he does not make. There's a chassam sofer in this pasuk. It says, Vayeser lo, Vayeser Yitzhak la'ashem lenochach isha. Why was Yitzhak davening across from Rivka? Why do you have to, why did the pasuk tell us that? So the chassam sofer says, this very shaila. Chassam sofer writes in his parish, it's called Toras Moshe, Ala Torah. It's a beautiful parish, has beautiful ramazim and halachic discussions. Chassam sofer says, he didn't want to say Rivka, Basir, her parents' names, Basuel, to mention the mothers. He wanted to mention the names of the Rishayim. So there's a Gemara that tells us in Maseches Brachos, if you're davening for a chola, you only have to mention their name if they're not present. But if you're in the presence of the chola, you don't have to say their name. When Moshe davened for Miriam, when she was sick, when she had tzaras, Rifa Nala, let her be healed. It doesn't say Rifa Na Miriam, it says Rifa Na La, to her. Why? The Gemara says because Moshe davened in front of her. When you're in front of the chola, you don't have to mention the name. So therefore, Yitzchak didn't want to mention Rivka Bas whoever, didn't want to mention the Risham's name. So he davened Nochach Ishto across from her, so he could avoid mentioning her name and just say, I'm davening for her. So in this Shaila, same thing we could apply to. If the nurse was davening in the presence of Esav, the sick child, she could just say, I'm davening low, I'm davening for him, and avoid the shaila. Either way, that's not our point here. The pasuk says, Vayeser lo, Vayeser Yitzchak la, Hashem lenochach isho, he davened across from his wife Rivka. It says, Al isho lo namar elenochach, across from her, telling us that he needed a refuah, she needed a refuah, and both needed to be healed to have children. So then the Gemara asks if they're davening for each other, it should say Vayeser lahem. They're davening on behalf of both of them. Why was it specific lo to Yitzchak? As if Hashem was focusing on Yitzchak's tefillah, but not Rivka's tefillah. And answers the Gemara, She'eino doma tefillah tzaddik ben tzaddik letefillah tzaddik ben rasha. You cannot compare the tefillah. The tzaddik ben tzaddik, Yitzchak ben Avram, his tefillah was much greater than Rivka bas Pesuah. And for that reason, Hashem listened to the tefillah of Yitzchak more so than the tefillah of Rivka. So we see tzaddik ben tzaddik's better, tzaddik gomer's better. But the Gemara tells us, rather, the Torah writes differently. The Torah quotes from his father. Who is the father of the Torah, guys? The Rush. He quotes from his father, the Rush. And the Rush was addressing a shaila that there are certain people who are not very comfortable with apparently in a minhag that existed in certain communities, that they wanted to choose someone from a very disgraced family. And because if it's a davar, it's not nice. It's not nice to choose a family from such a disgraced family. Because a bizoy mitzvah, you should choose someone from a family that's a very important, a very prestigious family. And the Rush says back, I don't care what type of family he comes from. If the person's a tzaddik now, and even more so, if he came from a mishpacha bezuya, and became a tzaddik now, tov, that's even better. Tov l'karev mizera tzaddikim. It's best to bring the tzaddikim even closer. Best to bring those who are rachok, to bring them closer. And the Rush advised to choose a chazan who's perhaps a tzaddik ben Rasha, not a tzaddik ben tzaddik. So we see from here that there's a machlokas, there's a nafkamina. Who's better? Is it Baal Tshuva better? Or is it tzaddik gomer better? So why would one be better than the other? Why would you say that a Baal Tshuva would be better? Or why would you say that a tzaddik would be better? What would the reason be? What would the reason be a tzaddik's better? You guys got a chance to see the end? Rav Dessler? Take a look in the number 14. Rav Dessler writes that why would you think a tzaddik ben tzaddik's greater? You can imagine if you grew up in a house of Avram Avinu. You grew up in a house of a great rabbi. You can imagine the great pressure that's on such a child. So says the Michtam Eliyahu, he says the reason why a tzaddik ben tzaddik is greater, shegadlus Yitzchak ha'yisa bezeh, his greatness, she'afa pisha haya ben Avram, even though he was the son of Avram, lo histapik b'mash yischanich etzel aviv greater. He wasn't satisfied with whatever his father taught him. He said, okay, I'm in the house of a great tzaddik, I'll be fine going ahead in life. Shezeh yachol yos chitzonis hergo bilvat, that's just how he goes about life. That's how he was raised, and that's how he continues to be. Rather, Yitzchak took it to another level. Ela omel la'asos akol l'shelo l'kinim pnimi v'atzmi shelo. Yitzchak decided to make strides in this world. Yitzchak decided to make additional takanas, additional acquisitions, additional tefillas he added into this world. Ubana binyan gadol shegilu hagvura bibriya binyan chadash. He said, you know what? I'm not satisfied with simply growing up in the house of a tzaddik. I'm not satisfied with growing up in the house of Avram Avinu. I want to build upon this and make even greater accomplishments than my father Avram. And if a person could be a tzaddik in the house of a tzaddik, that is a great milah. Because then you can imagine having that pressure, being the son of a great person. I guess in your world, there's LeBron James has a son, right? What was this called? He's Bronny or something like that. So imagine the pressure that he has having his father LeBron James. So if he could be a basketball player, one of the greatest, that's impressive. To live in, Michael Jordan had a son who didn't make it. He played basketball in college, I think. He never made it to the NBA. That's a lot of pressure to be in that house of a great basketball player or a great tzaddik, lahavdil. So that was a big pressure on Yitzchak. But if you're able to be a tzaddik nonetheless, a tzaddik and tzaddik perhaps is greater. Why would you say the opposite, however? Why would you say a baal tshuva is greater than a tzaddik? So here we have two different pshatim. The Taz, the great Perish in Shulchan Aruch, Rav David HaLevi Siegel, he writes that, you know why? All HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, we look at number 7, a reading just a bold, says, Tov l'kariv zeh shu einam yuchas. A person who has no yichas, who wasn't raised in a house of a tzaddik, he is better to be a baal tefillah, baal tshuva, kedei l'karvo osa zera l'shchina dirachmana liba ba'i. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is a person's heart, a person's love, a person's lev. Liba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants your heart. A person who grew up in the tzaddik's house, so he was always raised in such an atmosphere, such an environment. About tshuva, he decided to change his life, and then he showed what he really wants. He made a decision in life where to go. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. The Rachmana Liba Bay. There's an incredible story of Ari Levine. Rav Ari Levine, one time there's a person in his kila, a boy probably around your age, and he didn't decide to go to NCSY Kola for the summer. He decided to do other things, and not religious things. And slowly, he stopped wearing tzitzis, and then slowly he stopped wearing a yarmulke, and he wasn't religious anymore. High school boy. And Rav Ari Levine always wanted to go schmooze with the young boy. And one day, every time he saw him, the boy would run to the other side of the street. Rav Ari Levine would walk down this way, the boy would see him, he'd run the other side. And he could never catch up to the boy. One day, Rav Ari Levine is walking down the street. And the boy is walking opposite on the corner. And they bump into each other. And it was too late, the boy didn't see Rav Ari Levine coming, and he couldn't do anything at that point. It was too late. Rav Ari Levine says to the young boy, he says, I've been looking for you the past few months, I wanted to talk to you. And the boy said, to be honest, I've been trying to avoid you. So Rav Ari Levine was very taken aback by that. He said, I'm so sorry, did I do something wrong? Did I insult you that you're trying to avoid me? He says, no, listen, look at me, look how I'm dressed, look, I'm not wearing a yarmulke anymore. I'm different, I'm not religious anymore. And Rav Ari Levine said, listen, I'm a short man. I cannot see what's on top of your head. I can only see what's inside your heart. That's Rav Ari Levine. I can only see what's inside your heart, inside your life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care so much about where you've been. He cares about your heart. He cares about your life. And about Shuvah, who came such a long way, such a distance, and he shows how much he cares, how much he loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the essence. And therefore, says the Taz, about Shuvah is more fit to be a chazan than that of a tzaddik gamur. The Vushe Sra gives a different pshat. He writes, Moshe Straub was Rav David Shlomo Eibschitz, 18th century. And he says, you know why? The Levush always gives different perushim. It was a chiddush what he writes. His chiddush is, you know why? He says, Hashem yizbarach yirek ha-kavana shel tzibur. She'osen zos kedei lekarva lo'osa zera. You know why? Sometimes you have to do a nice chesed. You want to include someone. Let's say the guy's not the best basketball player. He's not the best basketball player at all. But you want to make him feel good. He's not the best baseball player. Not the best hockey player, but you want to include him. So you say, yeah, come on, Shimon, come, you'll play, you'll start, you'll play third base, you'll play outfield, and you include him, even though he's not really fit to be on the starting team. We want to make him feel good. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't look at that person, Shimon, who's playing the field. They're looking at the tzibur. He's looking at the team who invite him to play. So yeah, the Baal Teshuva is not really fit to be the chazan, says the Levush. But the fact that the tzibur appointed him to make him feel good, to make him feel proud, to make him feel special, that's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. He wants the tzibur. He wants the tzibur to do that type of chesed. The Boston Rebbe was great. I'm not sure if you read his biography. If you haven't, I really highly recommend you all read his biography. Great article, work on the Boston Rebbe. He would actually oftentimes, when you go speak in camps over the summer, he'd start and say as follows, "I'm from Boston, I'm a Red Sox fan." That's how he'd start his speech, because he wanted to make sure he was down to earth, people related to him. I'm a Red Sox fan. And there's a great maisa with him, actually. He said when he was in camp, he didn't play sports. He didn't know anything about sports. He's a Boston Rebbe. And one time they needed a baseball player. They needed like a right fielder or something. So he was on the side. They said, "Would you play?" He wasn't the Boston Rebbe at the time. He was a camper. So he said, "Sure." He didn't know how to play. But over time, he learned slowly how to play. They stuck him in right field. And then he said it turned out pretty good for him, because one time he was traveling when he was the Rebbe. And some guy was driving him. And he was trying to make some small talk with the driver. They had no overlap, no conversations, no topics that they could talk about. So finally, the Boston Rebbe brought up sports. He said, "Oh, let's talk about the Red Sox." And they were able to find some common ground, and they connected in that way. And over the years, he connected many times to sports. Reminds me of another story. Rev Weinberger, so when he went to camp, so on visiting day, they used to have visiting day back before Corona. It doesn't exist anymore, visiting day. But back in the days of visiting day, so all the fathers would come up to camp, and they had like this baseball game of the fathers. So Mr. Weinberger, Zichron Levracha, who is from Ungvar, Hungary, certainly did not know anything about baseball. No one outside of America knows about baseball. They think baseball is the most boring game. It's a waste of time. So he didn't know much about baseball, obviously. So he came to visit Rav Weinberger in camp, and they're having a big game of all the fathers. So Mr. Weinberger says, "Let me play. I'll play." So he says, "Daddy, you don't know how to play baseball." He says, "Don't worry. If all the fathers are doing it, I'll do it also. I don't want to make you feel left out." He says, "No, please don't play. You're going to embarrass me." "No, I'm playing. The other fathers are playing. I'm going to play also." So Mr. Weinberger, they saw he was very European, and he didn't have a glove, so they stuck him in right field. Very nice of a lefty who's got a nice shot. No one's hitting the ball to left field, to right field, rather. So he's right field, standing there without a glove. The guy gets up. I don't know if it was a right fielder who hit opposite field or a lefty with a nice, he pulled the ball nicely. Anyways, someone gets up to bat, and he hits the ball, a rocket, right at Mr. Weinberger. And Weinberger's like, "Oh, no." Oh, he puts his head down, like picking between his fingers, and Mr. Weinberger is standing there, the ball's coming right at him. He puts out his bare hand and catches the ball, takes the ball and says, "What a stupid game," or something like that, throws the ball and walks off the field. So that was the Maisa. So anyways, the Boston Rebbe, who appreciated sports, spoke about sports. So he once asked the Shaila, he says, "How come Avram Avinu was so much more successful in being Mekarev Jews than Noach?" They both were given the same mission. Noach was told to try to Mekarev your whole, the door, at least some people. You know who he was Mekarev? No one. There was a whole floor on the table just for people. It was Noach and his family. Not one person outside of his family joined them. Avraham Avinu, however, he was Mekarev a number of people, the Medrash says. What made Avram more successful than Noach? Says the Boston Rebbe, because Avram had an open house. He had an open tent. He invited people to come in and sit and eat, and shmooze, he took care of them. Noach didn't have that invitation. He just stood there and built a table. He didn't preach to them, he didn't invite them in. It was all over a cup of coffee in Avram Avinu's tent. That's what he said. So the idea is that part of being Baal Teshuva and part of being a chazan is not so much the Baal Teshuva himself, but the tzibur that invites him in, that allows him to be part of the tzibur, that allows him to be part of the tefillah. So while the Taz says it's no, the lev, it's the heart of the chazan himself, the levush says it's actually the tzibur that includes him, that makes him even greater. In the end of the day, we see that there is a nafkamina between who should be a chazan. It's very important who's greater, Baal Teshuva or Tzadik Gamur. In the end of the day, the Rambam paskens that Baal Teshuva is greater and he should be the one who's a chazan. So let's understand, we'll finish with this now. What makes a Baal Teshuva greater? Why is there so much more schar for Baal Teshuva than a Tzadik Gamur? And here we have three different answers. Yad Ramah writes in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadik Tes, he says, you know why? Because Baal Teshuva, the Tsar of the Baal Teshuva, that he needs to overcome. He tasted sin. He tasted what it's like to speak Lashon Hara. He tasted treif. He tasted this. He tasted that. And he was able to overcome his great desire. That schar of him overcoming it is the reason why he's greater about tshuva. It's okay to change. It's not easy to change. I'll tell you a very moving ma'isa. Camp Sternberg, a girls' camp. So I was there. I spoke there 3 summers ago. And when I went there, they shared the following story that just took place that summer when I was there. There's a, I don't remember the names of the divisions, but there's one division run by a lady, Deborah Fliegelman, who lives here in the Cedarhurst. And I can't remember the name of it, but it's a program where it's they start the summer as follows. They each, as a whole presentation, they all start with a necklace, and there's a little coin, maybe a penny at the end, which, you know, change, coin to change. And the idea is, it's time for change now. You're here in Camp Sternberg, now it's time to change. And then they start with a whole new summer. I'm not sure if it's a Kier program, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's like a new step in life. And there was a girl in a different division who did something wrong on Shabbos, Michal Shabbos, and it was understood that she would be leaving camp. And they weren't sure what to do with her. And this particular girl, when she came into camp, she came in with like bangs over her face, very dark and very scary by herself. A terrible look initially before camp started. And she was going to be sent home after doing what she had done on Shabbos. And then Sunday morning, Deborah Fliegelman, who was in charge of this particular division, walks up to this young girl who's going to be sent home, walks from behind, takes one of these necklaces with the change and places it over her neck and says to her, now it's time to change. And she gave her a big hug and said, you're going to stay in camp, you're going to be in my division, and we're going to give you a chance to change. It's not easy to change, especially when a person tasted whatever they tasted. But that's what makes a Baal Tshuva so much greater. When you've tasted the other side, that tsar, the effort, the energy, the pain it takes to get back, that makes a Baal Tshuva even greater. That gives him greater schar. There's a second reason brought down by Rabbeinu Yonah, which is that when a person has tasted something he shouldn't taste, in order to separate, you need to add more gzeiros. Let's say a person is a ganav, he steals. So that person who stole money, he has to stay so far away from any temptation to steal. So let's say, I'm sure some of you guys play fantasy football, fantasy baseball. You don't have to raise your hands if you don't want to. I'm sure some people do. I did growing up. But such a person, so whether you should play for money or not for money, so then this part of the shul, I guess, that's okay, if that person leaves a certain entry. Okay. So either way, the idea is when you've done something wrong, you've stolen. So the requirement to become better is that not only can you not do that which is wrong and usser, but there's certain things that are even mutter you can't do. You have to add more siyagim, more fences along the way. So let's say a guy I know is a ganav. He's a robber. So I would tell him, obviously not to steal anymore, but not only that, you should not be involved in gambling, which could be stealing, and not only gambling, no one should be involved in gambling, but even to play fantasy football without any money, just to be in the fantasy football, that world is connected to gambling, you shouldn't even do that. Ah, it's mutter. Fantasy football is mutter if it's not for money. So even that would be usher. So since this person has to add more layers of gezerah, makes it much harder, even that which is mutter, a guy needs to lose a lot of weight. He needs to go on a big diet. So not only treif is usher to him, but even foods like good steaks could be usher. Candy could be usher. Ah, it's mutter, but he has to take extra precautions. So that's the reason why the Rabbeinu Yonah says about tshuva is even greater. But there's one third and final answer, and that's from the Tevas Goma, the Prima Gadim's Perish Al Torah. And he says, you know why? And I'll finish with this. We have two types of tshuvas in this world. There's tshuva meyira, and there's tshuva me'ava. Tshuva meyira, the Gemara tells us, is when you take an avera that was done b'mezid. You on purpose were Mechal Shabbos. And you do tshuva meyira because you're scared of punishment, you're scared of sin, you're scared of Hashem. So your tshuva meyira takes a zadam and makes it into a shogek. It's now an accidental avera, but still an avera. A tshuva me'ava, which means you do because you love Hashem. You do tshuva because you want to come closer to Hashem. That takes an avera, a zadam, and transforms it into what, guys? Into a mitzvah. It's a zechuyos, to a mitzvah. Says the Prima Gadim, it's also the Baal Tanya writes as well, among other Svarim. All the Averis, the Baal Tshuva, when he was a Rasha, he did these terrible things, and he Tshuva Me'ava, he comes back to Hashem because he loves Hashem. They all now go on the scale of mitzvos. And he tips the scale of zechuyos now. And now he's flipped around entirely. All the averas, all the rishis, is now a zechus, is now a mitzvah through tshuva me'av. And that's why the tshuva, that's why a baal tshuva is greater than a tzaddik gemara. I'll finish with one final story. I just read this a few months ago. A powerful story, another great biography, if you guys have time, of David Trink. Great biography, fantastic. So he was a great Rebbe. He cared so much about his Talmidim, all types of Talmidim, all walks of life. He just showed great love. Just to give one example of this, before I tell you the story, when he was learning Kedushin with the Chevra, they're learning about a certain kinyan called kinyan hagbah. When you lift up an animal, or you cause an elephant to move up somehow, you have acquired an animal. It's a kinyan, you own it now. He said to the boys, when you lift someone up, a person, you've acquired them, you made them into a new person. And he tried to get them in their heads, just make a person feel good about themselves, make a person feel happy, just lift them up. That was the essence of Rav David Trink, just to lift every single person, every single neshama. So there's a maisa, a similar maisa to what I told you in Camp Sternberg. There was a camp, I'm not sure which camp this was, and it was Shabbos afternoon. A boy walks in and flickers the light. And the boys in the bunk were shocked. And the boy who flickered the light, to Michal Shabbos, started to laugh. So the boy, the campers, told the division head, the division head told the director, and this boy, the Michal Shabbos, was told to go see the director, and the director said, okay, you'll come see me after Shabbos is over. And of course, it was understood he'll be sent home. Now that Motzei Shabbos, they had a special speech, a special guest speaker come for that Shabbos, so the meeting was after the speech. So this guest speaker decided to speak about Rav David Trink. He had passed away 3 weeks earlier, so he decided to be maspid Rav David Trink, even though the camp had nothing to do with Rav David Trink, but he was a very big tzaddik, and he had a lot of interesting stories. So he gave an incredible presentation of who Rav David Trink was. A person who had so much love for every single Jew, every single neshama. So then the speech is over. The boy, who's Michal Shabbos, comes to the director's office, and he sits down. So the director, the whole time, is thinking, what would Rav David Trink do in this situation? The director didn't really know Rav David Trink, but after hearing such an inspiring story or a speech, he said, what would Rav Trink do in this situation with this boy? He's thinking and trying to imagine and fantasize, what would Rav Trink do? The boy walks in, the director says to him, so you know why you're here, right? He says, yeah, I know I'm here. He says, you probably were Michal Shabbos. It's probably an accident that you turned on the light, right? The boy was a little surprised. He said, yeah, it was an accident. And the director said, and you probably started to laugh because you were uncomfortable, you were embarrassed, right? He said, yeah, that's exactly right. The director says, okay, thank you so much, go back to your bunk. And the boy begins to walk outside of the office, and before he steps outside, he turns back around and says, asks the director, can I ask you one question? The director wasn't sure what the question would be. He said, sure. The boy says, can we learn Hilchos Shabbos together? And the director said, certainly. That's taking an avera and turning it into a mitzvah, into zechus. That's tshuva me'ava. There's tshuva me'ira to send the kid home, and there's tshuva me'ava to bring the boy much closer. What makes a baal tshuva so great is the tshuva me'ava. He turns all the averos into zechuyos. It was great speaking to you. Thank you for the opportunity. You guys should continue.